In early 1906, things began to go bad for Bolden. He had fits of depression and clashed with his musicians and others around him. He probably felt that his dominant position in music was threatened by competitors picking up on his ideas and his own lack of musical education. His band members of the past 10 years were either fired or quit, frustrated by his erratic behavior. He was frequently sick with bad headaches, depressed, and often failed to appear at scheduled appearances. He hired new band men, most notably trombonist Frankie Doosan, who gradually began to take over the band and its commercial bookings in Bolden's absence.
For a while after that, Frankie Doosan, the trombonist, took over some of Bolden's players. They called themselves the Eagle Band. Bunk Johnson, 17 years old, took his place. And Bolden arrived at Lincoln Park and saw him playing there, up front center, and just turned around and walked back through the crowd who stepped aside to let him pass. Dude Botley followed him and tells this story which some believe and which others don't believe at all. He steps out of the park like a rooster, ignoring everybody, everything, and goes up Canal. I trail him back to the barbershop. There's wood planks all over the broken glass window, and he just rips one out and climbs in and paces around, his arms out to the side like he's doing a cakewalk. I watch him across the street, and soon he's just sitting there in one of the chairs, looking into a mirror. Pretty dark there, not much light. There's light in the back of the shop, and it pours in all over the floor of the shaving parlor, and Bolden is restless as a dog in the chair. This is about 8 at night, and I'm on the other side of the road, shuffling to keep warm, because it's cold, and I should be dancing. I can even hear Lincoln Park over the streets. I see him walk to the back of the parlor, where the light is, and he come back with a bottle in the cornet. He try first to drink, but he begin crying, and he puts the bottle in the sink. The tears come to my eyes, too. I got to thinking of all the men that danced to him, and the women that idolized him as he used to strut up and down the streets. Where are they now, I say to myself. Then I hear Bolden's cornet, very quiet, and I move across the street closer. And there he is, relaxed, back in the chair, blowing that silver softly, just above a whisper. And I see he's got the hat over the bell of the horn. Thought I knew his blues before, and the hymns at funerals. But what he's playing now is real strange, and I listen careful, for he's playing something that sounds like both. I can't make out the tune. And then I catch on. He's mixing them up. He's playing the blues and the hymn sadder than the blues. And then the blues sadder than the hymn. That's the first time I ever heard hymns and blues cooked up together. There's about three of us at the window now, and a strange feeling comes over me. I'm sort of scared, because I know the Lord don't like that mixing the devil's music with his music. But I still listen, because the music sounds so strange, and I guess I'm hypnotized. When he blows blues, I can see Lincoln Park with all the sinners and whores shaking and belly rubbing and the chicks getting way down and slapping themselves on the cheeks of their behind. Then when he blows the hymn, I'm in my mother's church with everybody humming. The picture kept changing with the music. It sounded like a battle between the good Lord and the devil. Something tells me to listen and see who wins. If Bolden stops on the hymn, the good Lord wins. If he stops on the blues, the devil wins.
The words of Michael Ondaatje from his novel Coming Through Slaughter, based on the life of Buddy Bolden, available from Vintage International, originally published by Random House. The significance of the title Coming Through Slaughter is that Slaughter is the name of one of the last towns on the rail route that carried Bolden from New Orleans to the Jackson State Hospital, where he spent the last 25 years of his life. During 1906, Bolden deteriorated rapidly, becoming more erratic, more than usually quarrelsome, and bedridden. He was hospitalized and committed to the insane asylum. During his years at the asylum, he was not considered dangerous. He was free to move about and work at the hospital, and he was even known to have played his horn a bit, though never with the occasional bands formed by patients.
In late March 1906, news of Bolden's increasingly erratic behavior reached the local newspapers. The incident, which began the series of events leading to his lengthy internment, was reported in the Daily Picayune and, as follows, the New Orleans Item. Thinking that he was being drugged by his mother, Charles Bolden, a Negro living at 2303 First Street, jumped out of bed yesterday while in a state of dementia and struck her over the head with a water pitcher. Bolden, who is a musician, has been sick for some time. His mother was by his bedside yesterday afternoon, giving him what succor she could, when suddenly his mind was carried away with the belief that she was administering some deadly drug to him. Grabbing the water pitcher, he broke it over his mother's head, inflicting a scalp wound, which was pronounced not serious. Buddy's condition at the asylum gradually deteriorated. After 14 years, he no longer recognized his mother and sister and had become uncommunicative. After 20 years, he walked around ritually touching objects and had, according to hospital staff, auditory hallucinations and visual, talks to self, has a string of talk that is incoherent, hears voices of people that bothered him before he came here, does no work, and spends his time waving his hands about in the air and talking with imaginary voices.
That window, let the foul air out. I thought I heard Buddy Bolden say,
well, I hope this program has helped to create a picture in your mind of a seminal figure in the history of jazz, a musician who broke free of ragtime constraints and launched early jazz music. He deeply influenced the musician, the musicians which followed, and the music which has done so much to shape American culture and become our most original art form. Clearly, Bolden was a man gifted with a unique ability to communicate with his audiences, and somehow, down through time, to us today. A man who came to a tragic end, but to whom we owe much. Thank you. This is the nice little New Orleans band of Hal Smith recording on the Stomp Off label a few years back. Of course, the tune Bucket's Got a Hole in It, which was one of Buddy's favorites, and he played it whenever he saw somebody from the sporting crowd or a friend and wanted to brighten things up. We also heard Buddy Bolden Blues played by the Zenith Hot Stompers of England with Wally Fox. Imagining Buddy Bolden was produced with the assistance of voice actors Peter Coyote, Jill Eikenberry as Beatrice Alcorn, Joe Hughes as Pops Foster, and Ed Markman. The solo cornet was Robbie Schlosser. Readings were from Donald Marquis' landmark book, Searching for Buddy Bolden, the First Man of Jazz, in reprint from DeCapo Press, Michael Ondaatje's Coming Through Slaughter, and Pops Foster's autobiography. Thanks to Command Productions for technical assistance. This program researched, written, recorded, produced, and narrated by Dave Radlauer and Rhythm Productions of San Francisco. Thanks for listening, jazz lovers. We'll finish with My Bucket's Got a Hole in It and a tune that Bolden would use to close on the hotter, later nights, Get Out of Here and Go On Home, played by Hal Smith and his Creole Sunshine Orchestra. The fine trumpeter in this band, Bob Jackson, from Seattle, very much has that rough edge of the Bolden sound. Once again, this is Imagining Buddy Bolden. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.